This is The Home Sweet Home Job, written by Farken Nothing Gotham and read by Mistborn Hero. This is a leverage fanfic rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Alec Hardison, Parker, and Elliot Spencer, and is told through the point of view of Hardison's Nana. Nana stares at the piece of paper sporting "Second Notice Regarding Outstanding Balance" in big, bold letters taped to her door, and sighs. The Homeowners Association has been ramping up the hostilities, trying to force her to move away from the neighborhood she's lived in for decades. She doesn't know the details of what exactly her grandson does, but she knows he helps people. He's told her she can always come to him for help, but she never takes him up on the offer. She always insists she can take care of herself on her own, and for the most part, she does. She has been passive-aggressively resisting the Homeowners Association, but as the other neighbors bow to the pressure of bullshit fees and strict loan regulations, it's becoming harder to stand up against them. She pulls out her phone and calls her grandson.
"Hey, Nana,"
he says. "Alec, I need your help." Alec and his team, friends, partners, lovers, have moved into the neighborhood for a while to help her. The other two are posing as a couple moving into their first house, clad in pastel cardigans and khaki pants. Alec is staying with Nana, and he is trying to be discreet about the fact that he sneaks over to the other's house every night, but Nana knows. He is also trying to keep the details of this con from her. She suspects it is because he wants to give her plausible deniability, since she's asked them to come and help her, and she knows what they are doing is technically illegal. She is glad to finally meet these people who are obviously close to Alec, and whom she's only heard about through phone calls. They are sitting in her living room, the blonde, Parker, in front, with Alec behind her, and the third, Elliot, leaning against the wall. Nana is explaining what's going on in her neighborhood. The Homeowners Association has been sending her notices that she has several outstanding fines. One notice informed her that her lawn was half a centimeter too high. She had subluxated her knee that week and couldn't walk to take care of it. She ended up having to hire someone to come mow the lawn for her periodically. And with that, plus the medical bills, she couldn't have paid her fines, even if she wanted to. Every week she didn't, they would charge her more. And they aren't above using intimidation to get what they want, either, she tells them. Some of their other families that have lived here for as long as I have were forced to move out. Just last week, the Hendersons put up a for sale sign, and I know for a fact that they don't want to go. It is that Mrs. Miller and her friends that are causing the trouble. I think everyone is just trying to keep their houses in order, but some of the neighbors are starting to turn against each other, and that's almost worse. I've lived here for over 20 years now, and it has never felt less like home. She glances at Alec before continuing. Now that it's just me living here, I need this community more than ever, but so many of my friends have left. It is hard work, taking care of a house, and I am worried I won't be able to keep it up. I don't want to leave, but it is getting harder to stay. Parker nods seriously. We are going to help you keep your home. What they are doing isn't right, and I promised you we will make them stop. She stands up, glancing towards Elliot, and they move in sync out the door. Nana notes how well they move together, communicating without words, obviously intimately familiar with each other's presence. Alec introduces Parker as his girlfriend, and she can see that, but seeing them all in the same room together, she wonders if there isn't more. Don't worry, Nana, Alec says. When we are done with them, no one will ever bother you again. What are you going to do to them? She asks, half concerned about the safety of those in the neighborhood, but mostly just grateful that this team is here, ready to help. Oh, we're just going to show them what it means to be a good neighbor, that's all, he says, grinning at her as he sits up with his laptop on the kitchen table. The next morning, Nana bakes a casserole, puts on her favorite sweater, and walks slowly, arm in arm with Alec, over to meet the new neighbors. Of course, she has already met Parker and Elliot, and she knows full well that Alec snuck over to their house last night. But she finds it oddly thrilling to pretend. She and Alec make their way up the stairs to the front door, and she knocks three times. Then waits for them to answer. Parker opens the door, and Nana has to stifle a laugh. She is wearing a light pink shirt with an orange paisley sweater tied over her shoulders. She has yellow and blue checkered pants, and her hair is held back by a light green sweatband to complete the look. None of her clothes match each other, and she seems to be delighted by that fact. Elliot stands behind her, looking put upon, in chinos and a pale cardigan. Nana smiles as she holds out her dish, saying, I made you a little something to welcome you to the neighborhood. When Parker takes the dish, she holds out her hand and says, This is my grandson, Alec, and you can call me Nana. Parker takes her hand and says, in her most aggressively enthusiastic voice, Oh, this is so sweet. You shouldn't have. My hubby and I will just eat this right up. I'm Sharon, and this adorable little teddy bear behind me is Chaz. We are so excited to be moving in here. Alec's lips are twitching. Nana glances at him and sees how fondly he is looking at both of them. She is starting to understand what's going on here between the three of them. Parker elbows Elliot in the gut, and he begrudgingly parrots,
Yes, we are so excited.
He looks personally offended by Parker's choice of names, but Nana imagines that if he were in Alec's place, he would find this very funny. They make small talk for another minute, and then Nana and Alec make their way back across the street and down the block to her house. That night, Nana sits in the rocking chair by the fireplace and hums to herself as she reads a book. She mostly reads nonfiction these days, but tonight she felt like diving into the comfort of another world. This particular book is an old favorite of hers, the spine worn from years of love, and she flips ahead to the middle of the book, around where she remembers her favorite part starting. She reads for almost an hour before she hears her grandson making noises in the kitchen. He is looking in her fridge, grumbling to himself about the lack of good food, and she would smack him lightly upside the head for this insult, were she not so comfortable in her chair. His definition of good food is probably some horrifying gummy thing made in a lab somewhere, so she doesn't feel bad for the leftover pasta and vegetables in her fridge. Grumblings aside, he does take out the container of pasta and put it in the microwave, much to Nana's satisfaction. Alec glances over his shoulder at her and calls, "Hey, Nana, do you want anything?" "I could use another glass of water," she responds, and he fills a cup for her while his food heats. "Thank you, dear," she says as he sets the glass down on a coaster because he knows better than to leave stains on her furniture, and smiles at her. He glances around the living room and grabs a blanket that had been folded in the back of the couch. He brings it over, setting it down next to her, saying, "Just in case you need it later." She is hit with a memory of him, 15 years old, coming home from school to find her shivering on the couch because she hadn't been able to get up. He had gone into her bedroom and brought the comforter from her bed, wrapping it around her shoulders. He had sat with her on the couch, with fear and sadness and frustration behind his eyes, until she had built up enough energy to stand again. He had gotten her to the bed, then told her that he wouldn't let her try to deal with this on her own anymore. He took her to the hospital the next day, and when she said she would never be able to afford it, he simply looked at her and told her, "Leave it to me." He was with her through every appointment, and they celebrated together when she got a diagnosis and started on a treatment plan. She knew he had stolen the money, but she was just so relieved that she couldn't bring herself to be mad at him. Even back then, he used his skills to help people. "Thank you," she tells him again, hoping he will understand that she's thanking him for so much more than just this moment. He leans down to hug her, and she feels warm and content. A week into the team's stay, Nana and Alec are taking another walk. They are going on a circuitous route to make it seem as if they aren't just heading straight to Elliot and Parker. As they turn the corner, Nana gets treated to the sight of the two of them doing yard work in outfits that look very impractical for anything other than drinking iced tea in a lounge chair. They have already laid new sod, and Parker is now directing Elliot as to where to transport some sunflowers from their tiny garden store pots. She has hedge clippers and is trimming a hedge into the garish shape of a flamingo. Nana has to approve. She and Alec have been walking through the neighborhood every day, and she really does love spending time with her grandson, as she so rarely gets to see him these days. They talk on the phone frequently, but it isn't quite the same. Today, she has an ulterior motive for her walk. It isn't just luck that they leave her house while Elliot is outside working in the garden. "Oh, I've been thinking about moving my dresser to the other side of my room, you know?" she says to Alec. Raising her voice, she calls out to Elliot. "Young man, young man, I wonder if I could borrow you for a moment. I have some heavy furniture to move, and I just can't manage it. You look like you could help me." Alec turns to look at her, offended, and says, "What, you think I'm not strong enough to do it?" Of course you are, dear, Nana says, patting his arm absently. Since I am taking her extra set of hands, why don't you stay here and help Sharon with her planting? That's it. She has already turned around and started moving towards her house. A few steps away, she turns and looks at Elliot, who is looking rather steamrolled, and says, Chas, be a dear and help me, would you? She keeps walking home, knowing that Elliot will follow her. When they get back to her house, Nana asks Elliot to shift her cabinets around, just in case anyone is looking through the window. After he is done moving things, she sits him down on the couch, handing him a platter of cookies. Do you take milk in your tea, dear? She calls over her shoulder from the kitchen.
Oh, without milk is fine, he says, rather hesitantly.
She returns to the living room, handing him a mug and setting herself down in the chair across from him. She takes a sip of her tea, then sets her mug down and clasps Elliot's hands in hers. Now, young man, she begins, and she sees his eyes flash with the panic of those facing down a disappointing grandmother. When are you going to get your act together?
What? I...
Nana waves her hand in the general direction of Chas and Sharon's house. My grandson has been staying here for a week, but it only took me a matter of hours to see it. You love them both, and they love you. Elliot seems flustered and surprised, and he flounders for a minute, opening his mouth and closing it several times. Nana waits until he pulls himself together to continue. I know my grandson. He's in deep for you. Don't waste that.
But, Mom,
Elliot says. You should call me Nana, too. Nana interjects.
Right, Nana. Elliot starts again. Hardison and Parker are together. Even if you are right, I can't compete with that. They got there first, and I can't see how I would fit into that.
Nana's eyes soften, but her tone stays sharp. Don't be silly. You already do. They sit in silence for a while as Elliot processes what she said. He still looks highly embarrassed, but at least now he's got a small smile playing across his face. Nana smiles to herself too. She feeds herself a cookie for nudging Elliot in the right direction. She can only hope he'll move forward along that path. Nana doesn't know Parker well, but she can imagine that Parker would not appreciate having a little sit down with her like Elliot did. She just has to trust that Parker can see it on her own. She is the leader of the group. After all, she has to know how the pieces fit together. So no, Nana won't talk to Parker. Her grandson is another matter. She corners him while he's sitting at her kitchen table, working on his laptop. From how he's gloating as he types, she guesses that he's just exposed the financial information that will take the Homeowners Association down. She brings him over a piece of cake, disking at the bottle of orange soda by his elbow. He spouts off some retort about how he needs it to do his work. She sits down next to him at the table. After she's paused long enough that he looks up, she says, I love that young man of yours. Alec chokes briefly, clearly not expecting her to raise the subject. He sputters for a moment before responding, Nana, you know I'm with Parker. Yes, she replies, I know.
Alec gapes at her for a moment. I don't have a young man. We are just a team, he says, but she can see that he knows that's not true. It is a feeble protest anyway. They are both so good for you, Alec. His face softens, and she knows she's gotten to him. I'm so proud of who you've become. He blinks at her for a moment, then leans over and gives her a big hug. Thanks, Nana. He whispers into her neck. She squeezes him extra tight before letting go. 3 days after the con ends, Parker and Elliot host a neighborhood barbecue. Whatever Alec's team did to stop the homeowners associations had 2 for sale signs up in the neighborhood already, with a third household bargaining to be able to stay. The rest of the neighborhood is relieved to see them go. And the Hendersons have taken their house off the market again, much to Nana's delight. Alec went over early to help with the setup, so Nana walks in by herself after the party is already in full swing. She has to smile at what she sees. In addition to landscaping the front lawn, Parker has also apparently been making changes in the backyard as well. There are bushes everywhere, in a pattern Nana can't discern, but she assumes it means something. There are kids playing a game of tag while running around and through the bushes, shrieking with glee. Nana spots Parker herself, surrounded by a group of slightly older kids. Not yet teenagers, all of whom are staring raptly as Parker explains how to pick a lock. All of the kids' hands shoot up, presumably answering the question of who wants to try it first, and Parker hands the contraption to a small blonde girl that Nana has seen before, but never spoken to. Parker cheers on the girl as she works the lock, and Nana can't help but feel her heart warm. Even though she's not sure this would usually be considered a heartwarming activity. Nana hears cheering, and she turns her attention to the corner of the yard where Elliot stands, surrounded by neighborhood dads, proudly presenting a plate of perfectly grilled burgers for their inspection. The dads bring the platter over to the table to add the burgers to the pile. John, a longtime resident and one of Nana's close friends, clasps Elliot on the back as he returns his attention to the grill. Alec slides up beside her, carrying 2 plates. She accepts hers gratefully and makes her way to the house's back wall so the two of them can lean against it and watch the proceedings. I know I said this already, but thank you, Nana says, glancing over at her grandson. I can't say that enough. Alec smiles at her. Of course, Nana. You know, I've always got your back. You gave me a house. It is only fair that I help you keep it. Then there is nothing for it but to pull her grandson close and hug him tightly. They smile at each other, a little wet around the eyes, as they pull away to turn back to watching the crowd. Elliot, who has handed over control of the grill to John so he can eat his own meal, heads over to Parker. She is now timing the kids to see how quickly they can break into her house. So that's what the bushes are for, Nana thinks, as one of the older preteens uses a bush to step up and grab a hold of the lattice panels with the beginnings of the vines winding their way up. Well, some of them, anyway. She can't imagine that the bushes in the middle of the yard would do much to help someone climb a wall, but maybe they are there to provide cover. Elliot says something to get Parker's attention, and she turns to him, laughing as he hands her a cup of some drink or another, and his hand lingers on hers as the cup changes hands. Parker's smile grows softer before she turns her attention back to the kids. Elliot turns around to head back towards the grill, and now he is facing Nana and Alec. Nana glances over and sees that Alec has practically melted. She gives Elliot a thumbs up and then laughs when Alec exclaims, "Nana!" in a tone indicating he's trying to be annoyed at her meddling, but can't deny that he is pleased. She pats his arm consolingly, then takes his hand and drags him away from the wall. "That's enough lurking. It is time for me to show off my grandson to all of my friends." She heads towards a group of people, thinking to herself that she truly did a good job raising her boy to be like this. Now, the neighborhood is happy, and her grandson has two people to look out for him and care for him and protect him while he's off saving people from those who want to take advantage. Yeah, she did all right. The end. This has been recorded for ITPE 2022 as a treat for Little Red Riding Hood, who had the Leverage OT3 listed in the Dear Podficker list, and also POB Outsider, which is one of my favorite tropes. And then I found this one and I had to record it. So I hope you enjoyed and have a nice day whenever you're listening.